there was something that I said on the show that accidentally got deleted that I want to bring to you. Hello, everyone. Good morning once again from the laundry room in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. This is Martin Zender, and this is the Revelation series. And we are finding just that. That is Revelation. So God creates everything. And I said in one of my newsletters that if God could have a problem, this would be it. And that he has to create every single piece of raw material that he needs to fashion the eons, to fashion the things that happen in the eons. And so the common conception is that, yes, God makes things. He makes all these things, but then he puts them down here. And then he walks away, and the things carry on by their own machinations. In other words, it's purely raw material. And I compared this in the Lost show, which now shall be referred to as the Lost show. God is doing nouns and verbs. People are willing to admit that he does nouns, but not many people are willing to admit that he does verbs. We can't make flesh. We can't make human bodies. We can't even make an orange or a kiwi or a banana. So anybody with a reasonable mind will say, yes, God creates these things. But when it comes to the animation, when it comes to what these things do, when it comes to the verbs, when it comes to eating, sleeping, thinking, dreaming, wanting, desiring, or the opposite things, being stubborn, being recalcitrant, being evil and mean, then we don't attribute these things to God, as though the vessel is everything, as though the banana peel is everything that God does, and the banana makes itself mushy and luscious and sweet on the inside. But no. It is God who creates the nouns and the verbs. He animates things. Oh, I remember what I was, the analogy I was thinking of was a puppet. And did this, I see, the problem I'm having is I can't remember what was in, I should go back and watch my show from yesterday. I can't remember what was in the Lost show and the show that eventually got recorded. I risk repeating myself, but I have no problem. I'll just say this briefly and then we're going to jump into the Song of Solomon. If this is a repetition, forgive me. I should have gone back and listened to my other show. But, you know, people are upset when you say that God operates in humanity like an operator operates with a puppet. People hate that word. We're just puppets. Well, it's not a bad analogy. This is why. Philippians 2, 12, 13. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God operating in you to will and to work for the sake of his delight. It's a darn good show, isn't it? It's a darn good show. Because if you have a ventriloquist or a puppeteer, you suspend your unbelief that this is, we're looking at one operator here, and you start to believe the puppet, right? You believe the puppet. It's cute. It talks. It turns. It has a personality. Well, of course I have a personality. Well, you have a very nice personality. Oh, I bet you say that to all the puppets. No, I don't, but you're my special one. Oh, I love you for saying that, and I love you too. See, I even became convinced that my hand was its own entity. But who puts a naked hand out there? Instead, people covered their hands with colorful, ghoul-eyed, big-lipped, furry, funny puppets. And it's the absolute and the relative. There's an operator behind it. That's the absolute truth. We know there's one operator. But this operator is manifesting something of, well, I hate to say importance, but when I'm talking about God, yes. He's conveying something, the operator, the puppeteer. Whether it's humor, information. I've heard many ventriloquists say that they can express things through their dummy. That kind of fits 1 Corinthians chapter 1. God chooses the unwise, wicked, noble, and stupid. Let's add dummies to that. There are things that can be expressed through this other vehicle that would be awkward to express from the man himself. So God is behind everything, and he is expressing himself through his creation. He is animating it. He is an animator. This is the verbs. This goes beyond the nouns. He does create the raw material, but then he animates that material. He makes it think. He makes it move. Zender, do you have a verse for this? Oh, yeah. Do I have a verse for this? I think it's Acts 17:25. In him we live and move and are. In him. We're in him, right? Just like the hand is inside the puppet. And yet we're given this wonderful bubble of ignorance where we don't feel the constraint. We don't feel that we're being operated. And yet we are. And this should be a comfort to you. But again, I know people stumble at this. It's that bubble of ignorance that we feel independent. And this is the area where we learn. This is where we are tested and tried. Our faith is tested and tried in that we don't know what's coming next. The operator does, of course. He's God. Some people don't realize that the operator knows what's going on. They think that because we can't feel manipulation? No, because that has too much of a negative connotation to it. Let me call it, we can't feel the operation. And yet I have a verse for this too. I am loaded with verses for you. Just when you think I don't have a verse, I do. I have it. God is operating all in accord with the counsel of his will. Operating. He's an operator. See, that could have a negative context as well with humans, but we're not dealing with humans here. I'm talking about God. And God is the animator of all things. So this is a verb. He animates life. So don't give me this noun stuff. Don't give me that he's the God of nouns. The God of flesh. The God of banana peels. Are you kidding me? He only makes the banana peel. He only makes the outside. And then these things decide what they're going to do, what they're going to be, what they're going to think, how sweet they're going to be, or how bitter they're going to be. I reject this wholesale and summarily because it simply isn't true. And all I need is one verse, Acts 17:25, in him we live and move and are. If that's not Acts 17:25, it's near there. So go to Acts 17. It's Paul on Mars Hill. And he's teaching the most basic truth to the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers who are gathered in Athens, the intellectual capital of the world, and yet they don't know anything. They're ignorant, but they think they're smart. Say they talk like this, what would this idle babbler wish to say? Here comes the Apostle Paul. And they throw things at him when he's done with his little talk. But he's giving them basics, and the basics is in him we live and move and are. And some people, even in our own circles, don't understand that truth. Or they once understood it and have forsaken it because of the hard things that this operator, capital O, does. And I acknowledge that. It's stupid not to acknowledge that God does hard things. Do I have time to start the Song of Moses? You bet I do. I will do it, and I'm doing it now. This is verse 7. And now Moses is reviewing Israel's early history. And recall that the reason we're doing this is because in the beginning of chapter 15, the seven messengers who are about to pour the last, thank God, the last, seven calamities upon Israel, they sing the song of Moses. There's no record of the words of the Song of Moses in Revelation chapter 15. So we, being the astute, careful students that we are, the thorough students that we are, the hungry students that we are going back to the Law of Moses because we're not going to let this opportunity pass to find out what these messengers are saying, why spiritual beings of such magnificence who are operating in the last days, why they would go back to an ancient text that was written by a sun-beaten man in the middle of the Sinai desert. Why are they going back to this? Because God inspired that man, and because God speaks words that are timeless, and because these words come from his heart, come from his mind, and he is always about the care of his people. And he will not send any of us, Israelite or a member of the nations, the body of Christ, he will not send us into a trial unequipped. With David, he equipped him with a stone and a sling, 5 stones. He only needed 1. There's the crazy dog here barking. We have a crazy dog named Holly, who's now disrupting my show. And she cries for no reason. She's a bit scrambled in the head. She does this weird thing with her dish. She'll push it with her nose. Push it. We're very nice to her, but she's insane. But I love her. She's cute and insane at the same time. I apologize for the disruption, but this is life. This is life. Which reminds me, I'm sorry I got distracted here, but this is of God. One of my favorite parts of the movie, Jesus of Nazareth, as you know, the classic film starring Robert Powell that airs at Easter time. One of my favorite parts was the Annunciation, when Gabriel visits Mary in her chamber at night. And as he's talking to her, you can picture like her parents sleeping in another room. It's an ordinary night. Maybe it's a Thursday night, and the air is humid. It's dense with moisture, and it's just another day in Israel. And in the movie, as Gabriel is telling Miriam that she is going to bear the Messiah, there's a dog that barks in the background. And it's like, not many films do that, where they bring the ordinary into the extraordinary. And this is what we're always missing. We think back of the scriptures and these fantastic events occurring, God giving Moses these words that are applicable even at the very end of this eon. And he's giving him these words in the midst of the turmoil of Moses' day. Moses gets up and goes to work like the rest of us. He makes his coffee. He deals with the complaints. They had a big box of complaints. And people complained to Moses all the time. And it was just business as usual. Coconuts falling on people's heads, whatever. And that was the least of their worries. And yet, in the midst of that, God speaks. In the midst of the ordinary, God speaks. And we don't disdain, I hope, we don't disdain the ordinary things, these ordinary events of our lives, because in the midst of that, God speaks profundities. And he, with these words, he comforts us. He comforts us. We are about to remember the days for Israel. Tomorrow, going to look into more detail on the Song of Moses. And as always, folks, you know, I will never let you forget our song. I will never let you forget the words of another messenger of God who received truth in the midst of trial, in the midst of noise, in the midst of barking dogs, I'm imagining. And that is the Apostle Paul. He's our apostle. We're going to find common ground here to be encouraged in the things God does, the things he has done before, and the fact that he will never leave us or forsake us.